You got it, Ronnie. Good afternoon, church.
Good afternoon.
So often, our walk can become routine, even monotonous. Sometimes we can begin to forget what brings us together. If you want to turn in your Bibles so that you're ready for the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, here in a moment we will begin with verse 33. Life is full of choices. Decisions. Crossroads in our life. And there is no greater crossroad in our life than when we first hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before we bow our heads in prayer, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, beginning in verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them described him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we pray that you open up our hearts, that you convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that this message touch as many people as possible, that it soften their hearts, that it leads them unto salvation through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we that believe will be strengthened in our faith, that you will do a great work in each and every one of us, so that you can do a great work through us, into our families, into this community, into the state, and into the world. Use this church and each and every one of us as your instrument of a great revival. Oh Lord, we need your Spirit. We praise you always, for you alone are holy and righteous, you alone are worthy, and you alone are God. We pray all this in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we are saved. And all God's people said, amen. The message today is of a crossroads. The crossroads of the three crosses. The Gospel of Luke tells us that it was Jesus on the cross there at Calvary with a thief on either side. To each of you today, I ask you to think back of the moment when you first heard the Gospel of Jesus Christ, what was your response? It was one of two. It might just be that the first time that you heard the gospel, you had one reaction. But later, you had the other. Sometimes when we hear the gospel of Christ, while we may initially reject it, it plants a seed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it plants a seed. The two thieves on the cross fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah 53:12. Christ's words fulfill that prophecy as well. Verse 34. Verse 34 is a powerful verse. Here Christ has been falsely accused, arrested, mocked, beaten, humiliated, scourged, and now nailed to a cross, flanked by a thief on either side. At this point, he has been mocked by the people. He's been mocked by the Romans. The mockery does not yet end. In verse 34, I want to read this again. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Jesus forgave his executioners because they acted in ignorance. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Every time I read this verse, I am brought to Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. Every time I read Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, I'm brought back to Luke 23. Here we have Stephen the martyr, the first martyr. And he has proclaimed Christ to the Jews. And in that proclamation, condemns their sin and their culpability in the very crucifixion of Christ. And in their rage and their anger, they fall upon him, gnashing in their teeth. This is more than mockery. Far more than that. In verse 59, it says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Verse 60 is key. "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." That was the point of his death. Here at the end of Acts chapter 7, we are seeing Stephen, a man who had been transformed, made a new creature in Christ. And in his words and his deeds, he reflected Christ even unto his death. He boldly proclaimed Christ, and with humility and love and mercy and grace, he faced his persecution even unto his death, and he prayed for the very men that were taking his life, reflecting his Lord and your Lord, his Savior and ours. Sometimes the world will mistreat you. Every one of us here has been mistreated by someone, maybe a group of someones. If you are persecuted for Christ's sake, you are blessed. Jesus tells us that if the world hates you, know that they hated him first. Jesus never promised us peaches and strawberries and cream and rainbows and sunshine, hugs and a pleasant life. He promised us that he would always be with us. And through his presence, we can endure all things that the world would throw at us, all the fiery darts of the enemy. Why? For he who endured it all on the cross resides in each and every one of us. That mockery persists. Think back in your life. When you had first come to Christ and you began to tell others about it, friends or family members who had not yet come to Christ, how did they react? If they themselves were a believer, they were happy. But when they're not, telling them of your faith in Christ often results in receiving ridicule and mockery, or at the very least, a condescending look or tone. In today's scripture, we will see that Christ himself received this very mockery and ridicule. The soldiers mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." They even put it in writing, verse 38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Verse 39 brings it down just a bit more. See, we had the mockery of the people, the mockery of the soldiers, and now is the mockery of the one. Now we get to the story of the three crosses. Christ with a thief to either side. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself." Now Christ has been mocked by a man condemned. Christ, who was without sin, who became sin for us, bearing our sin, that's that double imputation, our sins imputed to him and his righteousness imputed to us. He who was innocent hung on the cross. Yet a man condemned, rightfully deserving of his punishment, mocks the very Lord and Savior of all mankind. When we are faced with the realities of our sin, when we hear the gospel for the first time, this is the point of that crossroads. Is this the path that we will take? Of ridicule and of mockery? In contrast to that vitriolic hate, mockery, and ridicule, the other thief on the cross in verse 40. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto the Lord, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I want you to note the contrast here between the pride, the ego, the ridicule, and the mockery of the unbelief of the unbeliever and the humility, love, and faith of he who believed. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Over the last 2,000 years, so many people, different theological schools of thought, have added to the requirements of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. There is no amount of good works that you and I can do that can save ourselves. We see in this thief on the cross all that is required for one to be saved. And we see this in Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is simple. Do you believe, truly believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross, was buried, in 3 days rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, who will come again to judge the living and the dead, and confess your faith in Christ, turning from your sin? It is that easy. There is no sinner's prayer. There is no 12 steps that you have to complete to be saved. Believe and confess. That is that crossroad, that fork in the road that all who hear the gospel come to. Look within your heart. To any who may be watching this, our online church members, or those who may come upon this sermon online that have never heard of us before. If you've never heard the gospel, look, you're at that crossroad now. You're at that crossroad now. Is your heart hard, full of pride, full of ego, and of mockery? Or is it full of love and humility? In this story, we also see how we are to respond in the mirroring of Christ, just as Stephen mirrored Christ in his mercy and love and praying for those who were putting him to death. So too can we mirror Christ when we are mocked, when we are ridiculed. Note in this story that in the response of the first thief, Christ responded not. And he did not respond to the second thief till he was asked a direct question. If you are faced with a hostile unbeliever who is ridiculing and mocking you and your faith in Christ, we should never respond in kind. This goes for in real life, in our day-to-day interactions with people, but also with our online conduct. Hey, look, I can tell you, I am not on Facebook. I personally am not on Twitter either. I'm not on social media. Why? Because it's toxic. I realized this over 5 years ago. That's how long it's been. It had become a stumbling block that was leading me to unchristian-like behavior. So in September of 2018, by the guidance of God, I shut all that down. All right, so that's what I did. As we flee temptation, personally, for me, that had become a stumbling block. That isn't to say that believers shouldn't be on Facebook and Twitter. Our church has a Facebook account. You may be watching this online on Facebook. So often, I know it hadn't changed. So often you get people on Facebook or Twitter or other social media, and they get to arguing with people that they do not know. But it's not just a disagreement. People begin to, whether believers or unbelievers, and yes, both believers and unbelievers will do this. A Christian posts a Christian message or something, and then they are mocked by an unbeliever. And not all, but there are some professing believers that will respond in kind. I ask you, do not do so. We're to what? Love our enemies. To pray for them who abuse us, who despitefully use us. To those who hate us, we are to love as Christ loves. So when you are mocked for your faith, let your response mirror that of Christ. Every word and deed that you do should be a reflection, reflecting the light of Christ to the world. So too in this. Instead of responding angrily, instead of responding to that ridicule with ridicule, let us instead respond with, God bless you. God loves you. I love you. I will keep you in my prayers. That part has to be said. I don't believe I can preach these scriptures today that the Holy Spirit has led me to preach without pointing out that in this is not just the story of faith versus disbelief, but is also on how we ourselves can mirror Christ in how we ourselves respond to the mockery we will and have received. That's the message we can get to this as believers. And as unbelievers, as you hear the gospel, as you hear of the suffering that Christ endured and his death on the cross, the shed blood that he shed for you, here you are at that crossroad. I find myself oftentimes watching Christian videos on YouTube, sometimes it's a sermon, but sometimes it's just a discussion. It might be a Christian podcast. It could be any number of things that I'm... it might be a Christian documentary. There's so many different types, genres of Christian content that I watch. This morning, as I was getting ready for church, I watched this interview. Michael Knowles, who is a conservative and a Catholic, is interviewing Clavin, last name Clavin. Do you remember his, you know what I'm talking about, his first name?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Well, they both work for the Daily Wire. Now, Clavin was born a Jew. He's come to Christ, come to faith in Christ many, many years ago. He's worked in Hollywood. There are some movies I'm sure you've seen that he was involved in. That he even wrote, in fact. I was, however, taken back that in this interview, though he spoke it quite eloquently and it sounded nice, as a believer, it broke my heart, because what I heard was the rejection of the exclusivity of Christ. Paul tells us there is no other name under heaven in which we may be saved. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Just as there is no amount of good works you can do to save yourself, there is no other path. There are those in the world that will lie to you and tell you there are different paths to the same place. They lie, the devil's lies. There is one path, one way, the straight and narrow, and few that find it. Jesus Christ is the only way in which you and I can be reconciled unto God. So as we proclaim the gospel today and every day to all in whom we meet, know that we are taking that individual gently by the hand and leading them to the crossroads of the three crosses. Hey, look, you're not going to save anyone. I'm not going to save anyone. God saves.
Amen.
Through Christ. But what you can be is an instrument of God through your obedience in sharing the gospel, bringing your fellow man, your neighbors, your family, your friends, bringing them to the crossroads. At the foot of the cross of Christ. Every sermon that I preach comes back to the cross at some point. And I'm going to tell you this, it is my immense pleasure to preach the cross. I've said this many times before, that if there is only one sermon that I am permitted to preach, it will be the cross. Christ and Him crucified. Even to those of us who believe, our walk can become routine. Our walk can become routine. It can become meticulously just a series of motions. We just go through the motion. And we begin to die just a little bit inside. So even for the believer, There is times when we must hear, once again, the story of the cross, to be brought back to that crossroads. So we're about to close this sermon. I'm going to call for anyone to come up who needs prayer for any reason. If anyone feels compelled to pray as you find yourself at this crossroads, please come. You are not alone. God stitched you in your mother's womb. He has been with you with every moment of your life to this very moment. No one else alive knows you the way that God knows you. Every thought, every word, every deed, God knows it. If anyone else in the world were to have that knowledge, they would despise you and loathe you. Yet God loves you. His love for you is so infinite that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to hang on the cross and die, bearing the weight of your sin, paying your penalty. You need only believe and confess. It has been my pleasure this day to bring this congregation and all who may see this to the crossroads of the cross of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that you be with each and every one of us this day. Lord, I pray that you plant a seed in the hearts of those who hear this message. That you place a new fire and a zeal in the hearts of believers. That you bring revival into our lives, into our hearts individually. That you change us, set us on fire, O Lord, so that we may better serve you. So that then the revival that starts in our hearts goes to our families, to our community, to our state, and this whole nation and world. To use each and every one of us as your instrument so that we may bring the world to the crossroads of the cross of Christ. We praise you, O Lord. O Lord God, you alone are worthy of worship. We praise you for the love you have shown us, the mercy and grace that you have shown us, through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, we love you. We magnify you. We lift you up, oh Lord. We proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, unto the whole world. Christ and him crucified, our Lord and our Savior, our God. We pray all this, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.